Well, how about that? We're live.
It's showtime.
It is. It really, really is. This is The Horn. HeadOn.live is where you'll find us on the interweb tubes. If you went trying to find me right now, you'd find me sitting about 200 yards from the... Oh, the song of the surf kissing the sand, the baby powder sand of the Gulf of Mexico. Agnes and I are down here in... oh, goody. There's a thing I forgot to do. Disabling the bleep. Oh, I hope this doesn't. Yeah, I know. Room tone. Yes, yes. There's lots of room tone. Room. Because it's a hotel room and I'm speaking directly into a hard plaster wall. It cannot be helped.
It's no. Okay.
But thank you. Thank you for letting me know. I appreciate it. We've been here since late Monday night. Hi, I'm Robin, and this is, lo and behold, I looked at Agnes a little bit ago, and I said, son of a gun, it's prayer meeting Wednesday. We were closer to 15 hours on the road. We left at about 5:30 Eastern Daylight Time Monday morning, and we drove straight through until we got here to the Gulf of Mexico. And we've been, and then we slept the sleep of the blessed dead. Had a couple of wonderful evenings with my dear sister Terry Ellen, and this evening is our last night here. We head for Birmingham and our lodgings there in anticipation of surgery. It kind of blows my mind. Last night I looked at Agnes and I said, "Oh my God! By this time next week, my surgery will be over," and it's true. So, again, Friday morning, day after tomorrow, I have my pre-op, COVID test on Sunday. I know that leaving West Virginia, I was COVID-free, so we've been extra super double plus, double secret probation careful all the way down here, although, you know, frankly, I left a worse COVID situation in West Virginia than is going on down here, oddly enough. Go figure. But we've had a couple of lovely days. The weather has been absolutely perfect. There is not a cloud in the sky. Agnes and I sat on a deck and looked at the Gulf of Mexico. And, well, you know, Agnes is Agnes. So necessarily the little creatures came to see her. The first evening we got out to the beach, it was little tiny manta rays. And, or maybe they were stingrays, I don't know, but they came up right into the shallows. Oh, for God's sake, stop it. Hush, hush.
They were mantas.
They were little manta rays, and several schools of them came up to see Agnes. And then this afternoon, there we were again. It happens every time we're down here. She says something like, what do you say? I sure would like to see some dolphins. Don't you?
Yeah.
You said it, didn't you?
Yeah, well, I was asking for sharks this time, but...
And so, lo and behold, there come the dolphins. It's an amazing thing to behold, to be with her at the beach, or just, you know, she could ask for a mountain lion in the mountains, and she'd get one, even though the West Virginia Department of Natural Resources says, we don't have any. One would find her. It absolutely would. A lot of stories to tell out of the, of course, any trip we took, and this has been one of the loveliest trips we've taken ever in the near 30 years we've known each other. It's been a delight. We laughed, we carried on. Agnes does not care much for being passed by tractor trailers, you know, doing 85 miles an hour.
Yeah, almost knocking your side of your...
And she spent, honest to God, I swear, she spent more time, and I'm not making fun, dear. I hope you understand.
Oh, I know you won't.
But she spends, when we drive together, like on a long trip, she spends more time watching the side mirrors and looking out the back glass than she does watching what's, I figure you've got the front end of the car covered. I'm just going to see what's coming up coming up behind us. I'm like, honey, it's okay. We're doing it. She said, I'm not worried about you. It's everybody else that scares the life out of me. So there's that. But I'm getting ahead of myself because every program at The Horn begins with gratitude, and this program is no different. So that means we've got a boatload of thank yous to send out from the first day of November forward. And we'll just work backward from today. So thanks very kindly to Gene and Ann across the pond. Thanks to our my old dear friend Mick. Thanks to John. Thanks to Stephen. Thank you, William. Bill, that is. Thank you to Dave. Thank you very kindly to Billable Rick for his challenge last week. Thank you to Jeffrey. Thank you, Rocco. Thank you, Elizabeth. Thank you to our dear, dear friend Alma out in New Mexico. Thank you to Mark. And thank you to Joseph. And thank you to Rusty and Chris. Thank you to John. Thank you to Tom in sunny San Rafael. Thank you all so much for keeping this program on the air. Let's see, going back to October the 31st, Halloween. Thank you to Kevin in Massachusetts. Thank you, Elizabeth. And, well, thanks one and all for keeping this on this program on the air for as long as you have. We've reached a critical phase in the life of this little independent liberal progressive broadcast operation, because we've been traveling for a couple of days. We both needed a little bit of time to sort of get our minds right in advance of what's going to be a very hectic schedule over the next few weeks. And so the fundraising goal stands at $1,500 for this week, because the bills are still the same bills that we had. And it'll be the same next week, because even in my absence, everything that it takes to keep this going, So I hope we can raise some of that this evening. Of course, this is the first live broadcast of a brand new month. It's the third day of November, 2021. And that means that we have Bruce's Memorial Challenge on the table, sponsored in part by our dear friend Ralps and our dear friend Chris in Germany, and an anonymous helper. Thank you so much for that. So there's $300 on the table to be matched by anyone who would like to, and that'll get us off to a decent start. That would get us to only $900 to go. And as far as the program schedule is concerned, I'm not sure about tomorrow, because I don't know what time we're going to be able to check into our new digs. It'll be a kind of a game time decision, but there will be a Friday on the front porch come Friday, and then I'm not sure about Monday. I'm going to be doing things like pre-op prepping. And for those of you who have had serious surgery, you know what that means, and it's not pleasant. But hopefully I'll be able to get to get everything fired up and be ready to go. And I cannot wait. I'm in such a relaxed place. I'm completely at peace in my mind. Yes, Stockton Larry saying, "It's alive!" And thank you so much to Stockton Larry helping us to finish off last month. Thank you so very much. It's alive. Yeah. I told Agnes when she gets the all clear from the surgery suite that I'm like coming out from under the anesthesia and everything, she should probably post that GIF, you know, of Dr. Frankenstein from the original movie. It's alive! Right?
I don't know.
No, she says no, that's not what she's going to do. That's Tuesday morning, and not sure exactly how this is all going to play out as to what happens in my absence that week. But if we can knock out this week, it'll be a minor miracle. But thank you to everybody for keeping this on the air. Thank you to our Patreon and PayPal subscribers. I cannot thank you enough. And lo and behold, I have been worried. And Lord, we've got stuff to go into this evening. I know that. But I've been I haven't heard from Joey and Giraffe in forever and ever, and I've been fretting. But I had a note just a little bit ago. As I sit here by my computer on my 60th birthday tonight, last night, the 2nd of November, happy birthday, Joey. Happy birthday. I'm really dismayed but not surprised by the results in both New Jersey and Virginia. These are states the Democrats should be winning easily, but because of two Democratic domestic terrorists by the name of Manchin and Sinema, Joe Biden's Build Back Better plan is not going to make it through now or ever, as far as I can see. Manchin and Sinema are going to play this game. I call it the Manchin Sinema Hellplex. Are going to play this game and stall until the clock runs out. This will not allow all the great components of Biden's Build Back bill to pass and rebuild the infrastructure of this country. It is all truly disgusting. Last week, October 25th, was the anniversary of both Payne Stewart and Minnesota Governor Paul Wellstone's deaths, as they both died in separate plane crashes, Wellstone in 2002 and Payne in 1999, as Stewart's plane slammed into the ground after running out of gas in Minnesota's neighboring state of South Dakota. I liken what Manchin and Sinema are doing, Joey continues, to a plane crash that took place several years ago. Germanwings Flight 9525 was a scheduled international passenger flight from Barcelona to Dusseldorf, and on March 24, 2015, the aircraft, filled with 144 passengers, was left to the control of a suicidal pilot, Andreas Lubitz, who had been treated for suicidal tendencies and declared unfit to work by his doctor, but somehow managed to remain a pilot by intentionally not divulging this information. Shortly after reaching cruising altitude and while the captain was out of the cockpit, Lubitz locked the cockpit door and initiated a controlled descent that continued until the aircraft impacted a mountainside, killing everybody on board. Jeffrey.
At this moment in time, Manchin and Sinema are flying the plane, and Manchin has just stepped out to go take a big dump on the American people in the restroom of the plane. Meanwhile, Psycho Sinema is the only one flying the plane, and she fully intends to crash Air Biden right into the side of McConnell Mountain somewhere over eastern Kentucky. And that, my friends, is no shit.
Sadly, I fear the Harvard-educated giraffe is correct. Speaking of birthdays, happy birthday to Chris in Portland on this November the 3rd, and a belated thank you for that. Thank you for reminding me of that. Thank you, Christopher. Happy birthday to you, and a belated happy birthday to Billable, Rick in L.A., and Star, as they celebrated birthdays on the 28th day of October last week. As far as the 28th of October is concerned, the General Court of Massachusetts passed a legislative act establishing Harvard College on the 28th of October, 1636. It would become the second institution of higher learning in the colonies, William and Mary having been previously founded. As I mentioned about 6 weeks ago, Jeffrey was accepted into Harvard Business School and is steadily matriculating through his graduate studies. I have had to quit my job to assist Jeffrey with his studies and the writing of several papers leading up to his eventual dissertation. We have been very busy, and my wife and I took Jeffrey back to Boston last weekend for numerous interviews from news outlets all over the world, including the BBC and Al Jazeera. Of course, Jeffrey's studying remotely to avoid all the fanfare and commotion that goes along with being the first giraffe to be admitted to Harvard Business School. Curiously, he may be the first giraffe, but I will add editorially that that Harvard has previously admitted many jackasses. I'm not implying anything about Jeffrey. Jeffrey is clearly a giraffe, but of jackasses, Harvard has many alums. Joey says, we'd like to thank all of you who've kept in touch, but we've been too busy to do any journals the past several weeks. However, speaking of being in Boston, we would like to congratulate the team formerly known as the Boston Braves as they won the World Series last night in their current home of Atlanta. Yes, the team that Babe Ruth finished his career with, the Boston Braves, became the Milwaukee Braves before moving to Atlanta in 1966. Jeffrey Jr. and I all agree that they should change their name and close down the Chop Shop. Jr. finishes, yes, they should chop Sinema and Manchin right out of the political picture and shop for several new Democratic senators during the next year's election. So this has been, and a happy return to it, Joey's Journal for Wednesday, the 3rd day of November, 2021. with Giraffe busting the chops of the non-voters in New Jersey and Virginia yesterday. And there's a $50 Stop the Cinema Chop Shop challenge on the table. Thank you so much, Joey. And it is so nice. I'm so glad that we heard from, I got to hear from you before I'm off the air for I don't know how long. I'm just really, really glad to hear from you. And I hope everything all the way around is okay. So thank you for the Stop the Cinema Chop Shop, the Mansion Cinema Chop Shop challenge. And we will add to that, I had a note from Mike in Cascadia. You've been on my mind often the last week. I was on vacation last week in the Netherlands and Amsterdam, so missed all of last week's shows. Back at work today, I checked to see if you were on, and here you are. Put me down for $25. Good luck, Robin, and sending all the good karma I can muster your way. Thank you, Mike. Thank you so very kindly. That the wondrous outpouring of goodwill as I go into this next phase of my life has been just so very heartwarming, and I cannot thank you enough. So we will put that $25 toward Bruce's memorial challenge, and that means that we will let's see, what is that? $275 to go. Well, no. I need a little confirmation here. Something just rolled in that is very, very extremely helpful, and I kind of need to know how to deal with it. Okay. Thank you. An anonymous friend says, "Here's have a show on me for the match." So we have met. We've met Bruce's Memorial Challenge, which is fantastic. Thank you. And that means we've then $25 of Stop the Mansion Cinema Chop Shop Challenge, courtesy of Joey and Giraffe, has been met. And what that means is we are down to, if that's met, we're down to $800 to go for a fully funded week this week. Thank you. Thank you so much. That's wonderful. Hey, it's great to hear that from you, Billable. Billable Rick says, your audio is better than ever, coming through loud and clear on HeadOn.live, but it is roomy. It's roomy and boomy, and because there's a lot of echo in here. But I tell you what, it's the darndest thing. It's really quite inspiring to just sit here and yammer away into the microphone, and all the while looking at the Gulf of Mexico. And Lord God, now it's November. It's cool at everywhere that's not Florida or really South Georgia, or maybe a little bit of South Georgia, but it was a perfect 72 degrees. I've been here a lot of different times over the course of my life, but never at this time of year. And, you know, you come here in July or August, and the humidity will drop you. It's like 1,000,000% humidity. It's like air you can wear. It's like walking through a sopping wet sponge. I have never been down here at a time that was so absolutely, undeniably near perfect. I mean, I think the high today was 73 degrees, just a gentle breeze blowing, and not a cloud in the sky, like I said. And one of the coolest things, one of the most lovely things, especially given what's going on right now, butterflies, monarch butterflies, getting ready to fly further south to perhaps, you know, if you leave here and you just go due south, you will eventually wind up on the Yucatan Peninsula. And I don't know if those little wonders can fly that far without stopping anywhere along the way. Maybe they just follow the Gulf coastline down Mississippi, Louisiana, Texas, down into Mexico, and then they know how to get where they're going. But they're beautiful, and they're everywhere. And they seem to dance to a ballet whose score only they can hear. And it's just gorgeous to see them flying around the estuaries and the marshes, and briefly lighting on little black-eyed Susans and little morning glories that crawl along the sand, fluttering around among the sea oats. Oh, it's beautiful and perfect. And I'm thinking, you know, by this time next year, I'll be a year post. And Agnes and I have been talking a lot about how wonderful it would be to just come down here and spend a week, maybe two. And Agnes has been collecting seashells and being beautiful while she's doing it. Yes. And she's just been having a blast. So all in all, it has just been a magic time. And it was everything that we needed to sort of charge our batteries and get ready for, like I said, what will be a very, very involved process going forward. I agree, Billable Rick. Let's give Joey Giraffrian Jr. a cowbell for their first journal in forever. I would love to, but I managed to leave West Virginia without a cowbell. So the cowbell will have to be virtual. And I don't think I've got... Do I have anything? Have it on. No, we don't need a rim shot for that. No, that's no good either. How about a stirring round of applause for Joey and Giraffrey for their first journal in forever? Yes. Well, I tell you what, the crowd's excited, aren't they? Yeah. Silent R. Lamar the Magnificent says, it's good to hear you. Hey, my birthday is on November 2 also. Well, happy birthday to you, Silent R. Lamar. I hope you had a wonderful day yesterday. And by the way, as far as reaching the program is concerned, everything obtains as normal. The stress line is hooked up and ready to go. 844-843-4676. 844-THE-HORN, if you want to get in on the for some conversation this evening. Oh, and that's true. Brother Deacon Asa says, we can go old school, and Billable Rick can always propose a good old toaster nomination in absence of a cowbell. That goes back a long ways because, well, Brother Deacon Asa has been deep in the archives, and I had a couple of notes from folks saying how much fun it was to hear programs from 11 years ago, and it really was kind of cool. Hearing voices that we hadn't heard in a while. And so, yeah, toaster nominations are available simply for the asking. Darn it, Robin, says Ralphs, it's 42 degrees. By 10 p.m., it'll be 31 degrees in greater Wisconsin. I understand. It was blue-ass cold when we left West Virginia. And by the way, I neglected one of the things that goes with the beginning of the program. If, of course, you would like to augment your listening experience by participating in the Horn chat room, the Merry Wacky Zany real-time multimedia extravaganza that happens during the 3 hours in which this program is live, Monday through Friday, in this case, 4 to 7 p.m. Central Daylight Time, 5 to 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, and, of course, 2 to 5 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time, well, run on over to headon.live. And click on chat room, you know, maybe stop by the PayPal interface, and then click on chat room, pick yourself out a screen name and a password if you don't ever already have one, and there you will be greeted by the arrivers thus far into the program, namely Anatole and Silent R. Lamar and Squeaky and Stockton Larry, and capably moderated by longtime chat room moderator and indefatigable, inveterate, veteran chat room moderator, that is, Sparky, who, although he is a third-stage guild navigator, has chosen not to fold space today. Probably not a great day to be in the man cave, and didn't know if I was going to be on the air. And, hey, it's Wednesday, and it's really cool to see Sparky in the chat room on a Wednesday. Hey, Sparky. Hey, Anatole, Lamar, Squeaky, Stockton, Larry. Anybody wander by just anytime you want to. Okay, so I kind of thought it was. Dave number 11 answering our monarch butterfly question. because I kind of wonder how many radio stations, radio programs there are asking questions about monarch butterflies. I'm guessing that Pink Shrek and the skeevy people who stop by his radio program probably don't even bother to think about monarch butterflies, and more's the pity for them. But Dave number 11 says, monarchs can fly 30 miles in a day, give or take, so a straight shot to the Yucatan is unlikely. So maybe what's going on here is they're fluttering around here before they head west along, and maybe run along the coast, which is fine by me. But far be it from me to tell a monarch butterfly how to do their thing. Thanks, Dave. I appreciate the Horn Ad Hoc Research Department service on that. Thank you. But God, they're beautiful. They really, really are beautiful. And just a one. And of course, Agnes being Agnes, several have posed for her so that she can catch photographs of them. Oh, my heavens. I think she's worn out. She's fallen asleep. Oh. And Billable Rick jumped on the monarch research bandwagon, too. The monarchs are able to fly over the Gulf of Mexico to their ancestral home in the mountains of northern Mexico. I think we've kind of put paid to that, Billable. And what's that? Stephen New York says, I'm awarding you a gunner. Oh, dear, dear Robin, so you brag about your sunsets, monarch butterflies, etc., and then we find you forgot the cowbell. Don't ever let it happen again when you do programs on the road. Well, I didn't last time, but you'll have to forgive me, Steve. I was kind of... the packing alone was Herculean. I managed to be able to see out the rear glass with the rearview mirror, but every other square inch of space that was not me or Agnes had something in it. So there's that. And by the way, we will add on to Joey and Giraffe's Stop the Cinema Mansion Chop Shop Challenge with a $15 challenge courtesy of Stephen New York. The Bengals sat at the top of the AFC for 1 week, a certain sign of the apocalypse. Their loss to the Jets clearly held off the imminent apocalypse and returned order to the universe. As a result, I'm offering a $15 apocalypse-averted challenge. By the way, okay, Miss Robin, you can stop that bragging about beaches, monarch butterflies, flowers, and sunsets. I'm not bragging. I'm wondering. Because it is just... Oh, it's beautiful to be down here. And, that's not bragging. It's just such a relief and such a pleasure. And I'll try to stay away from the food porn for a little while, but... God, that's one nice thing about being down here. This is the home of something they call Royal Reds. It's a variety of deep water shrimp. And Lord, they are sweet when they're fresh. Oh, you know, they don't even need butter or cocktail sauce or anything. They're just sweet and they taste like butter. You get them steamed. To fry them would be a grave insult. Well, okay, forgetting the cowbell, Steve says, it's not like you had anything on your mind or anything. No, and still managed to forget things, like the cowbell. But if we forgot it, we're going to have to live without it, and that's okay. But no, we left West Virginia at 5:30 on Monday morning, and it was kind of gray and crappy all the way through West Virginia out of central Appalachia. It was gray through Virginia, gray into northern Tennessee. But then as we got down toward Chattanooga, we stopped for the first time in Cleveland, Tennessee, and I thought of Richard, who lives there. And I hope Richard is well. It was funny because at one point in time I decided, yeah, just because it's experimental, I switched the radio over to the AM band. And, you know, we've talked about how terrestrial radio has just become a vast wasteland. Wasteland. I'm thinking about something else. A vast wasteland. And my buddy, Roger Hurricane Wilson, and I were talking about that last week. And so I decided to scan the AM band. And I tell you, I thought, okay, and traffic's getting a little crazy. You know, maybe there'd be something with traffic and weather on the tens. No. Or traffic and weather on the eights. No. It was once in East Tennessee, Southwest Virginia, East Tennessee, it was all Jesus radio all the time. And it was shouting, and ha, and you need the saving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Ha. And I, you know, because I hit the scan button and it stops and it listens for 10 seconds and it gives you a chance to stop it and then it moves on. Well, I didn't stop it, and it was one religious broadcast after another. The entire AM radio band is nothing but sewage. And this was a Monday, not a Sunday. But we felt pretty good about the progress we were making, and didn't have any significant or substantial slowdowns, and didn't stop for gas. I had it in my head that I wanted to make the tank of gas last until we were in Alabama. But it didn't work out that way, because we were down to like 40 miles to go. And Agnes, in her wisdom, said, you know, let's stop at the next gas station, because this is pretty rural through here, and I don't know how long it's going to be before we see a gas station in Alabama. And I said, by God, you're right. And so I'm trying to remember where it was, but it was about 11 miles before the Alabama state line in Georgia, because this weird thing happens where 24 and 59 join up, and then 24 splits off and heads for Nashville from Chattanooga, and 59 heads down into Alabama, but it has to jog down into this weird little corner of Georgia. Not very much Georgia at all. And then bang, you're in Alabama. So we stopped, and I went to fill up the tank, but then we noticed something. And I'm sorry we haven't gotten into the news of the day. I presume we all know that shit went sideways in Virginia last night, right? And we know, of course, that everybody is has their own, you know, Nitwit Nero has been bragging about it. And you see, this shows it. And then he went on to claim that an election corruption.
I guess we would have won if it hadn't been for all that.
When in point of fact, and I haven't seen this mentioned, I kind of had a bad feeling about it all along, because Terry McAuliffe had been governor of Virginia before. Now, I am not in any sense of the word criticizing or critiquing his ability to govern. No. He did a good job as governor of Virginia. But he was a known quantity. And I can imagine that for some Virginia voters, at least the ones who showed up, because that was a problem, turnout, I guess because the Democrats in Virginia didn't get a fucking pony. Oop, there's the F-bomb. Sorry. But he was a known quantity, and he's not the most exciting guy in the world. He was just stable and normal and, yeah. On the other hand, you had Glenn Youngkin, and that guy is a sick, twisted freak. Yeah, I know. I was telling you about the gas station. I know, popcorn. Thank you, Brother DK. So we'll get back to the gas station, because, well, it may actually tie into this. It's hard to tell from time to time. But Youngkin, as we pointed out on this program, has been wallowing with every hate-filled, evangelical, well-funded hate campaign that would talk to him. And they, of course, politicked from the pulpit and got the snake handlers and the floor rollers and the strychnine swiggers and the Crisco pourers to come out from behind the baseboards like the living cockroaches that they are and go and vote for a guy whose entire platform consists of hating other people. As Stockton Larry just pointed out in the chat room, centrist loses to a fascist no one could have predicted. No, of course not. And, well, thank you. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa. That's hilarious. I'm glad you let the freak through. Some person has, and the filtering catches the vast majority of this, but some jackass calling himself Slim sent a brief message, "Let's go, Brandon." And if you followed that little social media phenomenon, it's a way of saying, "Fuck Biden." And I gotta give a shout out to our pal Joy in Ann Arbor because she reposted something from some wag that made me giggle out loud because it's so true. The little maggots think they're so clever because everybody understands that "Let's Go Brandon" is a code word for "Fuck Biden." Okay, yeah. But here's the thing. You know, we have said out loud, "Fuck Trump." We've done challenges, "Fuck Trump" challenges, for years and years and years, because it's just okay. And because we're liberals, progressives, decent people with functional IQs, we say things like that because, well, we can. But the maggots think they're being cute by doing it in a coded fashion. And as the individual that Joy in Ann Arbor shared put it, you know, if you want to say it, just say it. If you want to say fuck Biden, just like we said fuck Trump. Saying "Let's go, Brandon" is, and this was the quote, this is the part that would have gotten the cowbell otherwise and certainly qualifies for a toaster. Saying "Let's go, Brandon" is so juvenile, I'm surprised Matt Gaetz hasn't tried to fuck it yet. Ooh, isn't that good? Oh, aren't you proud of yourself, Slim? Oh, you're so clever. Yeah, no, not so much. Slim, this is a secret coded message for you. Go fuck yourself with a barbed wire wrapped dildo. Okay? Good for you. Thank you very kindly to our dear sister Cynthia out in the Bay Area. Hi, Robin. I'm super excited for you. Keep a diary for yourself. Your experiences will likely come in handy in helping others, too. Meanwhile, I'm still waiting for my own time on the table under general anesthesia to take care of all my dental issues. Oh, I think I've got the better end of this bargain, Cynthia. I'll go under general on January 21st, 2022, and will be on the table a good 5 to 6 hours while they do 4 crowns, a root canal, and at least 2 fillings. I think that actually makes me hurt more than thinking about what's about to happen with me. Cost about $16,000 out of pocket for everything except the anesthesia, which I'm counting on Medicare to cover. I hope they do. Otherwise, more dollars. Ouch. Otherwise, I just put down $3,500 the other day for this dental work for the hospital where it'll be done. I'll be able to cover the overall cost with a big hit from my 401k and savings using money I was hoping to buy an electric car with. That isn't going to happen for a good long while now. Oh, well, I'll just have to keep driving my old gas-guzzling 2003 Civic. Eventually, I'll get by this expense, and then I can donate to my favorite progressives like you again, as well as some other causes one day. Count on it. And I can't wait to hear you on the other side. You'll have some stories, I'm sure. All the best. Thank you, Cynthia, and thank you for all the help and support you've given me, and the encouragement, and the pride, and the knowledge of the happiness to come. Thank you. Thank you, Cynthia. It's going to be so, so wonderful to be done. Yeah. And like I said before, now that the stress of all the packing and everything, I got no stress left. We just do this. And then I wake up, and things will not be terribly pleasant. But it's like my sister Terry told me. She said, the minute I was awake, I knew it was done. And I knew I was happy. And so this just feels like not to put anything in anybody's faces, this just feels like another step in a very real, not metaphysical, not really spiritual, but a very real form of salvation. And we can talk about salvation on prayer meeting Wednesday, can't we? Sure. So I hope things go great for you, Cynthia. I know what a mouthful of oral surgery feels like, and it's not a lot of fun, but I'm sure it's necessary. And once you heal up and get done with the spooned milkshake and occasional mashed potatoes diet, that too, you will be much happier to have that stuff taken care of. You know, the word root canal just makes my whole body hurt. And you know, we had the story from Brother Bishop Steve in Georgia Stan the other day on just how. And you know, again, dental care not included, and you know, ignoring dental problems can lead to much more expensive problems for insurance companies and the people they insure. But you know, penny wise, pound foolish. That's the American insurance industry. And thanks to Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema, we're probably not going to have any kind of included dental or vision care, because, well, what does Joe Manchin say? That would lead to an entitlement society where people felt like they were just entitled to have the government take care of their bad teeth, when we all know that having just absolutely skull-crushing toothaches, well, that leads to character for everybody who doesn't own a coal brokerage. Jesus Christ, where's a fuck Manchin challenge when we need one? God almighty. No, but I was talking about the trip down. And so we stopped in the gas station in Georgia, and the tank was down to empty, or very nearly. So I looked at the price of a gallon of gas and calculated how much it would take to fill the tank. And meanwhile, the damnedest thing. Yeah, I know, Steve in New York says, root canal. That's one of those phrases that even if you didn't know what it meant, you'd know it isn't good. Just the phrase root canal would make non-speakers of it. Hey, over there, yeah, you don't speak English and I don't speak Mandarin, but let me just run a phrase by you there. Root canal. And if you're even non-English speakers, root canal, they know to shiver and cringe. Yeah. But anyway, back to the gas station. It was the South, and it was about, we were getting ready to cross into Central Daylight Time, so it was about 1 o'clock, and it was about to be noon again. And as I pulled into the pumps there, on the furthest, on the far side of the furthest set of pumps was an old, and I mean old, like late 70s, maybe 80s model, couldn't have been much more than early 90s, Ford F-150 pickup truck. And it looked like it had been hand-painted a sort of tan, and the hood was up. And let me see if I can rouse Agnes to tell part of this story, because part of this is her story. Hold on. Be right back. Stand by. Okay, so...
Jesus, that's loud.
You want me to turn the cans down a little bit?
Just a little.
Okay. So I just got to the point where we had pulled into the gas station there in Georgia, and I was reaching for my little clutch to go in, because you have to prepay. And that's when you and I noticed the guy with the shaven head and a little thin red beard that just ran along the bare edge of his jawline, no adjoining mustache or anything like that. He was a younger guy, had on a pair of pretty beat-up jeans, and no shirt. And when we first saw him, he was laying on his back on the ground, holding his head with both hands and screaming and swearing and occasionally kicking the pickup truck. So far, so good, dear?
Well, I mean, it led to that because I was the idiot. This is, do you think I should go help?
And that's when Agnes looked and said, do you think I should go help? To which I said,
no.
Don't help, dear. You have to remember where you are. This is the northeastern corner of Georgia. He's one of those people who is represented by Marjorie Trader Gangrene Cueball.
Well, it didn't matter who he was represented by. It mattered that I thought he was hurt, but he wasn't.
So I said, no, don't help. So I get out of the car. I go into the little Rippy Mart, and I stand in line. I think you wanted a Sprite. So I went back, I got the Sprite, I come up and I stand in line, and I get to the place where I'm ready to pay, and I ordered up my $40 worth of gasoline and paid for your Sprite. And the clerk there all of a sudden says, oh, somebody is having a very bad day out there. And I looked at her and I said, but you will continue to have a very good day as long as you don't go out. And she smiled and said, I agree. So I paid, walked out, and got in the car and
said, oh, no, you didn't.
No,
you said,
I opened the door.
Yeah.
And okay, you take it, dear.
Get in the car now. Come on.
Robin, get in the car.
Yeah. Because Junior there was
Junior.
Kicking his
we'll
truck.
We'll call him Junior.
And beating on it and swearing, and I thought, oh, you know, this is going to turn bad really fast. But Robin toddles out, comes to the car. Oh, I need to get, no, you don't need anything. Get in the car, please. And it's not me bossing you, but this is going to look bad. Luckily, a gentleman in a, I think it was a cement truck.
No, he was driving a propane truck.
Oh, okay. Well, see, I wasn't paying attention.
I'm trying to think because it was a propane truck because the logo painted across the propane truck was Boomer.
No, it wasn't.
Yes, it was.
Oh, God, I'm blind, too. All I could see was him.
But you had seen enough.
Yeah,
as Stockton Larry says in the chat room, drive, she said. Yes. Why, dear? Why did you say, get in the car, Robin, get in the car?
Well, you know, when I thought he was hurt, I was looking at him and the great big swastika on his shoulder.
Ding, 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 ding. We have a Nazi.
Gave me, well, no.
You did not see that coming, did you?
No,
I did not see that. You did not see that.
No, I didn't see any when I saw that, and I figured that it was going to turn really nasty quickly because I don't see a lot of people lay down on the ground. I thought he hit his head on the hood of the truck, but no, no. He just would lay there and kick it and hit it and then stand up and punch it and swear some.
Yeah, I was going to say, don't forget the cussing.
I don't even want to think about it, really. I'm just glad I'm not there. I'd prefer not to get shot, and just getting this done.
And as we drove away, she said, just get away, Robin. Just get away. I don't want to be here anymore. That was the tagline. I don't want to be here anymore.
I don't. I just want to get this done.
And so I ran through the drive-through at Crystal's because we were in the South, and that meant it was lunchtime, and that meant it was time for a Crystal or two or six.
Don't eat Crystal's.
Yeah, they're just not as good as they used to be. But no kidding. That's when the light went on. I've had two right-wing asshole lights go on in the last couple of days. In that moment, I realized, yeah, I know, I really do want out of here, because I realized I was smack dab in the middle of, and you know, I think Steve from Georgia Stand could confirm this. I was smack dab in the middle of Marjorie Traitor Gangrene Cue Ball's effing district, and so no wonder there was. No wonder there was a Nazi screaming and kicking his broke down, beat up old Ford pickup truck in the parking lot of the Exxon Rippy Mart. That's just any day that ends in Y in Marjorie Traitor Gangrene Cue Ball's district. And so it turned out to be a very good call, nonetheless, on Agnes's part, because we were well past 30 miles into Alabama before we saw the first gas station, so we would have run out of gas on the side of the road.
It was messed up.
It was, yes, you're absolutely right, dear. It was a messed up situation.
Yes, it was.
So we toddled on down the road. We drove past the exit sign for the Alabama Museum. And don't make no mistake, the Alabama Museum in Fort Payne, Alabama, is not like a museum of Alabama history, which is a fascinating history. Alabama's history is fascinating. No, this is a museum that the band Alabama built in their hometown to themselves. Brother Deacon Asa was on it early. He said, now you have to compare timestamps. Can I take an early stab at this, young Nazi? Yes, Brother Deacon Asa, your powers of prophecy are strong and profound indeed. You did not see that coming. You did see that coming. You did see the Nazi. They're good, aren't they? Yes, they are. They're yummy. Leftover beignets for breakfast.
Just grabbed a bite. My God, are you going to tell everybody that I'm just trying to grab a nosh?
No, you just wouldn't eat them at the breakfast table, but
they're
very yummy. They're beignets from Ruby Slipper in praline sauce. But anyway, we made it on down the road. It turns out the greatest amount of time of the entire trip was spent just in Alabama, because it was basically a huge diagonal from the northeast corner down to the southwest corner of the state. And, you know, odd little circumstances and occurrences. We took the bypass around Birmingham so as to not have to mess with Birmingham traffic. And at one point in time, I looked in my rearview mirror, and I said, dear, you might get ready to roll video or something, because we've got a Jefferson County Sheriff's roller right on our ass. And I wasn't doing anything wrong. I was doing exactly 70 miles an hour. And not driving erratically, anything. And he just stayed there. on my ass, on my ass, on my ass. I'm like, oh, and I wasn't going to change lanes or anything because that would, and then all of a sudden we see a sign, crash, at exit whatever, left lane closed. And it turned out that's what he was on the way to, but it wasn't bad enough that he had put his lights on and got there in a hurry or anything. And so just, and I had left the choosing of the music to Siri. And Dave number 11 will appreciate this. Just as we were coming up on, and remember, we're in Jefferson County, Alabama. Just as we were coming up on it, Siri decides to cue up a new song. And the next thing you know, I'm hearing, drink scotch whiskey all night long and die behind the wheel. They got a name for the winners in the world. I want a name when I lose. They call Alabama the Crimson Tide. Call me Deacon Blues. And right when the, I kid you not, right when the that line was playing, drink scotch whiskey all night long and die behind the wheel, a car had gone out of the left lane into the Jersey barrier, whack, and there was a fire truck and an EMS truck, and that's where the sheriff's deputy had gone. And it's like, son of a gun, how does she know? These freaking algorithms are getting out of hand. But we continued onward. We didn't stop much at all because I was absolutely determined to get where we were going. And so we played tag with a hot pink wrecker that was flatbedding one and hauling another one on its rear wheels. And doing so at 75 miles an hour, I might add. And did I mention the wrecker was hot pink? Yes, it was hot pink. And it was on the way to Georgia, so it was. We picked him up. Caught up with him just a little south of Birmingham, and he drove south on 65 all the way to Montgomery to pick up I-85 to go all the way to Atlanta. And I'm thinking, somebody's trying to jack their mileage up. Because if you're that close to Birmingham, you just go up 65, you get on 20, and boom, you're in Atlanta. But, well, I don't know. Maybe there was some sense in taking 85. So we eventually got through Montgomery. And it's about 4.5 hours from Birmingham down to the Gulf here. And as the sun was setting, and I felt like a member of, I told Agnes, I felt like a member of the Lafayette Escadrille flying into the blazing setting sun, and was waiting for the Baron von Richthofen to come roaring out of the sun and just, yeah, that's because that's how my mind works. But it was blinding, but along the way, and we knew we were in South Alabama because there were advertisements for boiled peanuts along the side of the road, and God, I loved them, but I didn't get them. But Agnes began noticing that, well, like every exit along I-65 is two words, you know, for like two different communities. And she noticed one, and then she noticed another. And because she's so quick and so clever, she said, "Robin," I said, "Yes." She said, "Why do all, for a state that hates trans people as much as Alabama does, why do all of their exits sound like drag queen names?" And I said, "What do you mean?" She said, "Well, that one we passed a little bit ago was Georgiana Starling. And that's a goddamn drag queen name if there's ever been one." I went, "Son of a gun, it is." And she said, "Look, coming up here." I said, "What?" She said, "Flomaton Wallace? That's got to be a drag queen." So we decided that if we needed to be anonymous down here, she would be Georgiana Starling, and I would be Flomaton Wallace. And then we came up on the best one yet, and that was Raben Perdido. I said, "Ah, he must be our pimp." Sorry. But it was just... But we got we had a wonderful drive together. This is probably the best trip we've ever taken together. And like I said, here in about 5 days, it's going to become a very challenging trip. And I am so grateful, so very grateful to have her with me to do my caregiving. And and every day has been like that. We've just had the best time. We've laughed, we've carried on. We've had a couple of good meals and one really bad one. That was last night. I mentioned those Royal Red Shrimp. You know, they're like butter. Well, I ordered them last night, and they did not taste like butter. They tasted like dirt. And I sent them back. And Terry's mahi-mahi smelled like it had been laying out on the state dock for about a week, and it went back. And Agnes's scallops were none better. Apparently, it was Dirt Flavor Tuesday at the steamer. Which is, I really should have given second thoughts. No, you don't call. You don't. Please, if you're ever in a place that has a restaurant simply named The Steamer, don't. Particularly if you're in Cleveland. Never, ever, ever go to the Cleveland Steamer. Just saying. But we've had some fantastic breakfasts here. We can walk 100 yards and be on the beach, and have, and we're a stone's throw from the state park, which is like having your own private beach. All that white sugarcane, white baby powder, fine sand. There's no place like this. And so we drove down the road earlier today, and I'll probably post this on social media because... I wanted to live a little bit dangerously. Now, we've been masking and everything, taking all of our precautions while we've been here. But we drove down to the Florida line. And that was another one of those, oh my God, moments, because I realized for just a couple of minutes, I was actually, I think, in the district that's represented by Matt, It Just Gates Worse. And so we turned around, came back, did a U-turn, and I parked in front of the Welcome to Florida sign, stood in front of it, raised my middle right finger, smiled at the camera, and Agnes snapped the shutter, and I was probably committing some sort of Florida crime, one or another, because, one, I wore my mask because I wanted to be in Florida and wearing a mask just to piss off Ron Monkey Up DeClantis, and of course I laid my right middle finger right there underneath the name of Ron or Rona, death sentence, while wearing a mask. And we all know that that Florida has become a state inimical to all of science. I saw just, a couple of days ago that he has signed an executive order eliminating mandatory vaccines for measles, mumps, rubella, diphtheria, pertussis, polio, the works. Is that true? It certainly seems like something a Monkey Up would do. But great God in heaven, he's begging. He's begging for more pandemic. Because the stupid people who vote for him want not more cowbell or more toaster, but in fact, more pandemic. Oh, my God. And so, look at this. I have managed to fill a lobster through the first hour of the program. And if you'd like to be part of it, you're welcome to jump in and engage in some conversation. I'd love to hear from you. And I don't know. Agnes might even take a question or two.
Woo-woo.
Yeah.
I'm here.
Jump in and engage. So, of course, like I said, the stress line is up and running, 844-843-4676, 844 at the horn. And the Skype line is still the same as it has ever been, same as it ever was, Bob Kincaid Horn. It's going to feel even weirder to be Bob Kincaid Horn after, about 6 days from now. Maybe I'll be Bobby, B-O-B-B-I. I don't know. Steve from New York asks the seminal question, Crystal, and that's Crystal with a K, by the way. Is that like White Casket? Yeah, very much so, only I've always thought crystals were much better, but they seem to have fallen off some in recent years. Agnes has become a big fan of the White Castle milkshake. That's why when we stopped in Cleveland, Tennessee, that's what she got. And enjoyed it immensely. And they really are good. Thanks for the shout-out, Steve, from Brother Bishop Steve from Georgistan, said, it's nice to hear you and Ms. Agnes. It sounds like you all are doing well. We are. Pretty doggone happy. I'm listening to the show this evening. You know, the whole whistle while you work trip. I've tried to pick up the work pace so I can offset the cost for my dental procedure. Conclusively, I feel for our friend Cynthia from the Horn family facing various dental procedures. I know what she's up against. One tooth out of pocket cost was $4K and many trips to various dentists. I have high option dental insurance too. High option my ass. I would hate to see what the standard option or even no option bill would have amounted to. It's a sad statement when we have to tap into our life savings for basic dental care. We must do better. Love to all. Steve from Georgistan. P.S. Yes, you were in Marge country. And, you know, in the grand scheme of things, Marge country, I think that may possibly be even worse than being in Hunter S. Thompson bat country. I didn't tell the poor bastard about the bats. He'd find out sooner or later, soon enough as it was.
There were bats.
Yeah. So while you had stepped out, I told everybody about Georgiana Starling and Flomaton Wallace and their pimp, Raven Perdido.
Yeah, I love reading signs.
Well, tomorrow as we head back north to Birmingham, we're going to check on the way back and see if we can find more drag queen exit names.
Right on top of it.
That was that. No, not quite my trigger finger. It was my middle. It wasn't a trigger finger, but yes. By the way, Dave in the Blind says, "Young lady, I said listen to Agnes. When we spoke last week, I distinctly remember telling you to listen to Agnes. We all want you to be safe and not have to deal with Nazis." By the way, when he was laying on the ground, was he resting his head on a copy of Art of the Deal? Watch out for those steps.
Yeah.
I mean, it's one of those moments where if I could actually paint, I could paint that scene. And you know, maybe do it as like a French Impressionist or something like that. You know, where where it's like a Monet. It looks great at a distance, but up close, it's a mess.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Well, I am listening to her, and she has been giving good advice and
keeping you out of trouble.
it really is kind of odd, though, and we had a rather extensive discussion about this. I've said repeatedly how fortunate I am to be to have had this year-long plus experience in the community where I live. And by the way, we've talked to a number of people. Oh yeah, we came down from West Virginia, and they say, "Really?" And what do they say?
Mm, go ahead.
How about that? I got an aunt in Roanoke. It's not a joke. It's a law of nature. Okay. It really does happen. And well, I just love Virginia. And after a while, you kind of give up. No, we seceded from them on June 20th, 1863. Well, didn't the Civil War? No. We seceded into the Union.
I don't even tell them that. I go, okay.
Yeah, okay, yeah. We've gotten a couple of, I have gotten a couple of more than curious glances.
And I start conversations.
And Agnes starts conversations with him just to sort of, you know, make him not quite so uncomfortable with the suspiciously large woman.
No, it's to make them uncomfortable with the way that they're side-eyeing.
So I was in a grocery store last night.
And I was.
And I asked after the pimento cheese spread, because I was in Publix, and I thought, they're bound to have really good pimento cheese spread. Well, it turned out they didn't.
They have hateful cheese spread.
But I asked one of the clerks, I said, do y'all have any store-made pimento cheese spread? And she said, well, no, but I'm not sure, but I think you'd want to ask somebody in the deli. And she flagged down one of the deli workers and said, could you tell... And looked at me and looked back at the deli worker. And I mean, like 5-10 seconds of silence went by, and I finally went, her, could you tell her? And she went, yeah, could you tell her if we make pimento cheese spread here? And then she looked at me and said, I don't know why that took me so long. I'm terribly sorry. And then I said, oh, that's okay. Happens all the time. Because you're trying to have a little grace about these things. That's Berg calling. He must not know I'm on the air. Stand by. Yeah, well, it turns out that I need to stop and talk to Ferg about, because he's managing the Fabulous Horn Studios at the magnificent Kincaid Mansion right now and for the foreseeable future. So hopefully, well, I can get this sorted out. Oh, my goodness. I got to share this before we go. I was talking about exit names, and Dave number 11 said, not safe for work.
I got to share this. Dave, don't worry about it. It's kind of like the old fortune cookie rule. Anytime you dine at a Chinese restaurant and you get your fortune, just read your fortune, and then it will make much more sense if you add the two words "in bed" to the end of the fortune.
Never does.
Always makes sense. And so Dave number 11 says, "My son invented this road game. RVs all have their brand, but these days Winnebago and Country Camper have given way to a couple hundred different monikers. All names of RVs are plenty more funny when preceded by the word anal." For instance, Dave number 11 says,
"Wait, come here. I want you with me when we read this."
Our grand champion, Agnes just read it.
Oh, Jesus.
Our grand champion is Anal Fun Seeker.
I don't want to be anywhere near that RV.
Oh, no, we're
okay.
Watching. No, we have a new game. Thank you, Dave. I'm deeply in your debt. We have a new game to play on the road. And she's going to open up a note on her phone, and we're just going to keep track of all the RV names. There's a lot of RVs down here, Dave. We may not be okay.
We were in a couple of caravans.
Oh, God.
But we're not an RV. We're just a little tiny car, but they encompassed us.
Oh, my God. That's going to be... You know, Dave, you really haven't lived until you made Agnes laugh. Oh, God. So, this has been so much fun just to get back and give a little bit of a road report. We'll get back into the horrifying news of the day, either tomorrow or Friday. It's just, like I said, it's just been so nice to talk to y'all. And we'll, it sucks what happened in Virginia. But it's explainable, and I think Joey has part one of the puzzle pieces. But I really, really despise an electorate that says, "Hey, I didn't get a pony. I'm going to stay home and let the maggots fuck us," because that's what they did. That's what they did in Virginia. Virginia had a chance at ongoing good government, and now it's just going to be a miserable, shitty 4-year-long fight. And all the millionaire for-profit media ties in, you know, this signals the downfall of the Biden administration. They'll lose the House by 100 votes by 2022. I guess there's a chance they're right.
No, but
the fact of the matter is, and that was one of the headlines I read. Oh, made me crazy. Democrats in big trouble because they couldn't deliver on Biden's agenda. It's not Democrats failing to deliver, goddammit. How simple are these people? This is two people's fault. This is Kyrsten Sinema and Joe fucking Manchin. They're the ones who are fucking America. In fact, I got queried last night. I put up a post about what a wondrous day it had been, and somebody jumped in and said, "Yeah, but what are you going to do about Manchin?" And I said, "I don't know. We can go on hating him. That doesn't seem to be helping, though." And I got upbraided for it. And it was on a post that was absolutely positive and trying to be uplifting and just celebratory. And what about Joe Manchin? And the fact of the matter is, let's repeat this for the umpteenth time. If we want to be shed of the problem that Joe Manchin is, the answer to that is not Joe Manchin. I mean, he's annoying as shit. He is. I don't know. He's a great big national dose of the clap. Okay. He's a disease. But he's the senator from West Virginia until the elections of November 2024. Okay. He's not going anywhere.
And so the only way to solve Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema is for Democrats to not stay home and get a fucking pony and get out and vote like your lives depend on it, because they do. And get more Democratic senators into the Senate. Save the seats of Mark Kelly and Reverend Warnock in Georgia and add more Democratic Senate seats. Florida, North Carolina, Ohio. Save those two seats and add Florida, North Carolina, and Ohio, and you're only one senator away, and maybe once you've made Joe Manchin, sent him out into the goddamn wilderness, maybe, then Kyrsten Sinema can be brought into line, because she won't have anybody to cling to. But here we are again. Here we are again, or not us, but some people who are deemed to be the Democratic electorate not being excited enough. Even if my theory is correct about Terry McAuliffe, that he was a known quantity and he wasn't exciting enough. Fuck what? I don't get it. I do not get it. I don't understand people who vote that way. I simply do not. But at any rate, we will talk more either tomorrow and Friday or on Friday, and we'll delve more deeply into all of this. But I just wanted to check in and tell everybody that we're okay, and give you a little idea of what it's been like for these past couple of days. If you want to see some of the pics, feel free. Run over to my page on Instagram or Twitter or the loathed Facebook, and take one of the most breathtaking sunsets I've ever seen last night. Just amazing. I'm blown away by all of this. So thanks, everybody. Thanks especially to our anonymous friend who jumped in and matched Bruce's Memorial Challenge. Thanks, Mike and Cascadia, for jumping in on half of the Stop the Manchin Cinema Chop Shop Challenge. We got $25 more to go on that. And thank you for the Apocalypse Averted Challenge from Steve in New York. There's 15 to go on that. If anybody would like to help, it would certainly be appreciated. Thanks to all of our subscribers, Patreon and PayPal. Thanks to our a la carte contributors. Thanks to each and every one of you who shares your precious finite time engaging in this program in whatsoever manner you so choose. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thanks to Sparky this evening in the chat room. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, HeadOn.live. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. 20 plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia. Thanks, Agnes.
Thanks, Robin. Thanks, everyone.
And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Please stay safe. Get your vaccine, get your booster, wear your mask, wash your hands, don't touch your face, use your hand sanitizer liberally, take it everywhere you go. We took it all the way from West Virginia to Alabama, for God's sakes.
And beyond.
Keep your social distance. And for God's sakes, if you pull into a gas pump and there's somebody with a Nazi tattoo writhing on the ground and screaming and cussing at his truck,
until later.
Avoid that person like the plague and leave the gas station as soon as you can, and don't help, because he is. Later.